All right. Thank you, Sister Johnson. If you noticed in the music, now you probably noticed half the choir's gone. They've gone away for Christmas. We've had some others coming. We're glad you're with us. And I have the privilege this morning of having my son, Stephen, back. Somebody asked me how much snow did he leave. I think it was ahead of him. I think it snowed more south of him. But we're glad that they got to come in. We're looking forward to grandson coming in on Christmas Eve. He's in the Marines and trying to make it. But we're glad to have him this morning. And, of course, I want to hear him preach. His mama wants to hear him preach. And I hope you want to hear him preach. Amen? Because he's going to preach this morning. All right? And it's good to have him back. Most of you certainly know him. And we appreciate him not only coming but bringing the grandkids. Amen? Stephen, come on, please.
I always count on Mama wanting to hear me preach, amen? All right, well, Merry Christmas to everybody. Very thankful to get to spend the Sunday before Christmas with you here at Landmark, and pray that you and your family are doing well also. And it is a blessing. We got down a couple evenings ago, and it's not a fun drive, but we made it, and I didn't have any snowy weather, winter weather really to drive through, but it was a lot of rain and a lot of wet weather. And my son, be praying for him. He's supposed to catch a plane in San Diego this evening and then make it here by tomorrow morning. So we're excited to get to see him. He's been down in South America. That's down, right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's down or over, down and over. But he's been down there and just got back on the 21st, so we're glad that we get to see him. But it is a blessing to be here this morning. Let's take our Bibles and go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, and we'll look at the last verse of chapter number 9, which is verse number 15. I'm going to try my best to stay in 2 Corinthians this morning. I might grab a verse out of 1 Corinthians or here and there, but I want to show you just a couple verses concerning the theme that we are all aware of, and that's the Christmas season and the unspeakable gift of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse 15 talks about that unspeakable gift. And while you're turning, I know I've told all my Christmas jokes here before, I'm pretty sure. Haven't came up with any in the last few years, so I just have to recycle something you won't remember. So here it is, maybe. I did hear about the blonde lady that went ice fishing for Christmas. Sorry, got to tap into the blonde joke reservoir there. But there once was a blonde who always had heard about ice fishing. So one day she tried it. She went to an icy area, cut a hole, and started fishing. All of a sudden, she hears a voice. That's pretty familiar at Christmas time, you know. There are no fish under the ice. Well, she ignores the voice and moves to another area, cuts another hole, and begins fishing again. And again, she hears this booming voice, "There are no fish under the ice." Well, she's starting to get a little unnerved. And she looked up at the sky and said, "Lord, is that you?" And in reply, she hears the voice again, "No, this is the ice skating rink manager. There are no fish under the ice." All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 15. See, it's been a while since I told that one because you didn't remember it. So 2 Corinthians 9, 15, let's talk about that unspeakable gift this morning. The Bible says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." It is the season of gift giving. When you're young, you're excited to get something. When you get a little older, you're really excited sometimes to give something. And the looks that you see on the faces. There's a quote I read this time of year. I almost do it every year. But I do it for me, and maybe it'll help you as well. But it kind of helps me try to have the right attitude about this time of year. And here's the quote. "The time is again at hand when the millions about us will stage the greatest farce of the year, a gigantic birthday celebration for the Christ they reject. And many we'll celebrate with drinking and revelry. What should be our response? We believe that we should use the Christmas celebration to bring out the truth of Jesus Christ, just like the Apostle Paul used the Athenians," they're in Athens, Greece, "he used their religious zeal and their altar to the unknown God for an opportunity to proclaim Christ Jesus unto them." That's Acts chapter 17. So no matter what your attitude is, you can muster up the grace to represent Jesus Christ and preach to everybody or speak to everybody you can about the unspeakable gift of salvation that the Lord God has given each and every one of us. So I want to talk about that gift this morning here for just a few moments. And I'm going to use a couple other verses. In fact, if you're still in 2 Corinthians 9, can you go back maybe one page to your left? I'll start with this verse as our first point this morning. And I'm going to try to do a Christmas miracle. I'm going to try to quit on time today. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 9 is where we'll start with this, with our first point talking about this gift. Look at it here in 2 Corinthians 8, 9. The Bible says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." The first point I want to talk to you about for a few moments this morning is about the context of the gift, the unspeakable gift that we read about a moment ago. Someone once said that Christ was content with a stable when he was born so that we could have a mansion when we die. And think about that for a moment. Though he was rich for my sake and for your sake, he became poor. What a blessing that is. That's an unspeakable gift. That's something to proclaim. That's something to celebrate. That's something to make you happy. That's something to make you face life with the right kind of disposition and the right kind of attitude. Whether it's gifts or gift giving is something you think about. God gave the ultimate gift. Whether the occasion is a birthday, whether it's a holiday, whether it's a graduation, it's customary in our American culture and probably most cultures to give a gift of some sort. Some gifts are maybe given out of necessity. You're obligated. But for the most part, gifts are an expression of our love. Can you think about God's unspeakable gift and the unbelievable, the indescribable expression of his love for you and me? That's something to think about. That's something to celebrate. We give these tokens. We give gifts as tokens of our affection. And we give them to those that we love or we feel they deserve the honor. But here's the thing. Here's the context of the gift that God gave. God's ways are not our ways, if you think about it. He gave the gift of his beloved son to his enemies. He gave it to a nation that had rejected one of their own. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. We live in a society today, we live in a world today where for the most part the whole world lieth in wickedness and they are rejecting the greatest gift, the greatest expression of love that's ever been given by God Almighty, and that's the unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ. See, God gave the gift of his beloved son to his enemies. I guess you'd have to call that a true love story here at Christmas. But guess what? It's a true love story every other day of the year as well. The wonder of the grace that God sent his only begotten son, the son of his love, to save sinners like me, to save sinners like you. Now, we weren't fleeing towards God. Most of us were fleeing away from God, but he still gave us a gift. That's why Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 9:15. I'm going to keep coming back to it. But thanks be to God, unto God for his unspeakable gift. Next time, I know gift giving, I know sometimes it can even feel like a chore or a burden to somebody. But next time you get the wrong attitude about things, just remember how God gave the greatest gift ever given to enemies. Those that were at enmity with him. While we were yet sinners, what does the Bible say? Christ died for us. What a wonderful expression, the context of the gift. But there's more to it than that. And I'm going to read you a verse. And if you want to turn to it, it's just a couple more pages back to your left. And that's 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse number 10. Remember this, we're talking about the gift that God gave. Thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift that we can celebrate today. 2 Corinthians 1:10 says this, talking about Jesus Christ. He says, "Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. In the margin of my Bible, I put a threefold deliverance of God right there. He did deliver us from so great a death. He doth deliver us right now, and he will yet deliver us in the future. How about that? That's the gift that keeps on giving, amen? It took care of my past. It took care of all my sins and transgressions and faults and failures. It takes care of my present. Every day, God is there. He has exactly what I need. I don't always get what I need from him. That's my fault, but it's always there for me. He's there to equip me and to sustain me and to lead me and to guide me and direct me. And guess what? My future is taken care of. I know in this world, if you look at the future, sometimes it gets a little sketchy, if you want to be honest about it. It's a little worrisome or stressful, but when it comes to your future on this side of things, which is our real future, which is our next life, which is our long life, which is our everlasting life, boy, everything's just fine. Yeah. All the bills are paid, aren't they? Yeah. Retirement, no one's touched that. The fund's in good shape. Everything is fine. The content of this gift is wonderful. It's a threefold gift that God has given us. He's taken care of the penalty of our sin. That's our past. He's got the power to sustain us in the present. And he's got the presence. We're going to be in his very presence in the future. What a blessing that is. I read somewhere one time about the three arcs that are mentioned in the Bible. Most of us understand about that. My son was just on a Navy ship there going to South America and then coming back. And thankfully, it didn't sink in that en route. But the only unsinkable ship that was ever built, of course, wasn't the Titanic, but it was an ancient one made of gopher barky, right? Made of gopher wood. It was, what, more than 450 foot long, 75 foot wide, 45 feet high. It was three stories high and sealed with pitch. Noah's Ark was actually one of three arcs mentioned in the Bible. All of them are pictures of shelter from death and judgment. You ever thought about the pictures of the arcs in the Bible? Yeah, God delivered his people from death. He delivered people from judgment that was coming. The second ark mentioned in the Bible is the Ark of Moses. We talk about that sometimes, in which the baby Moses was delivered from judgment as well. And then the third ark was, of course, the Ark of the Covenant, given in Old Testament times with the blood upon the mercy seat and the very presence of the glory of God dwelling between the cherubims. That's good stuff right there. One day we'll see, we'll understand that in a whole new level, a whole nother level one day. But what a blessing is that. All three of these arcs speak of God's provision for deliverance from death and judgment. There's death and judgment everywhere you look, but when you look up, when you look to that unspeakable gift, you understand God has delivered you. It's like Paul said in Romans 7:24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And then he answers the question in verse 25. He says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Our attention is drawn today to that unspeakable gift that God has provided for each and every one of us. When you think of the word unspeakable, you think of the word indescribable. I've said that before. Others have said that before. You ever gotten a gift before that was indescribable? That might be on the good side of things, or it might be on the not so good side of things. You can say that, but here's the truth about this. The gift of God's dear Son is indescribable. Great is the mystery of godliness. And right after he says that in 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh. Can't describe that. Can't explain that. That's the mystery that God, he's the one that provides and solves that unspeakable gift. What a blessing. Who can explain the incarnation? How the eternal Son of God left heaven's glory and took upon himself the form of human flesh, yet he didn't have Daddy Adam's sin on him like we have had to deal with. He was the sinless one. He was the seed of the woman. But he took, my dad just taught about this recently, but he took on flesh so that he could deliver all of us of flesh. The unspeakable gift, the incarnation. The Bible says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Some say that a love story that ends with a death is tragic. But the death of Christ is the greatest demonstration of love this world has ever seen. How much does God love you? Think about that at Christmas time. I know Christmas time can be a struggle for certain folks in certain situations, but just think about this. How much does God love you? So much that he gave his only begotten Son to die in your place. That's a whole bunch. He died for my sins, and he died for your sins upon the cross of Calvary. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, but he was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That takes us back to what we first read this morning. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I guess the question to ask is, have you trusted him? Have you trusted him? But I don't always want to stop there. There's the context of the gift. God gave it to his worst enemies. That's the measure of the love. The content of the gift, what's in there? It's past deliverance. It's present deliverance. It's eternal deliverance in Jesus Christ. But I want to talk about the character of the gift. I wanted to maybe call it the constitution of the gift or the continuance of the gift. There's all kinds of things we can say, but as you look inside of it, you see what it is. You know, you would never think of paying for a gift. It wouldn't be a gift, would it? If you paid for it? I mean, if you were to pay... If someone were to give you this great gift and you were to try to pay for it, wouldn't that make the giver offended in some sense? Why does religion go about and try to pay for something that's already been given to them? They try to taint it. They try to corrupt it. They try to pollute the unspeakable gift of God by reaching out their sinful fleshly arm and saying, "Let me contribute here, Lord." I recently read about a family that during the Christmas season, they came up with a plan. At least worked one Christmas. The father said that he kind of had to trick his kids because they were so curious, and there was a bunch of them running around, and no matter where they hid the gifts that they'd bought for their kids for Christmas, they would find them. You know, they would go on this, you know, all out full court press type of scavenger hunt until they found those gifts. So they had an idea one year. They decided that they would keep all the neighbors' presents at their house. And then all of their gifts for their kids, they stored over at the neighbor's house, okay? Well, they knew the kids were going to peek, and they just acted like they didn't know anything about it. And then Christmas Eve, and the kids were all finally asleep. They did the swap. They did the old switcheroo. They swapped and wrapped all the gifts that night. And this fellow said, you should have seen his kids the next day. The look on their faces when they looked out the window and saw those bicycles that they thought they were getting for Christmas being ridden down the street by the neighbor's children. See, when you think about a gift, sometimes there's some trickery involved. Sometimes it's about... keeping the receipt so you can take it back. But can I tell you that when it comes to the unspeakable gift of God, it's not a gift that needs to be refunded in any way. You don't want it refunded, let me just say it that way. You don't want an exchange in any sort. You don't want to swap it, or you don't want any tricks pulled on you. In fact, you make sure you hold on to the receipt right here. It reminds you it's for you. Amen. No, this unspeakable gift is something you got to praise the Lord for. Let me just follow through on that, okay? I have a few minutes left this morning, and let me follow through on that statement about the character of the gift that we receive, this unspeakable gift of God. Let me do some supposing for you, okay? Where I pastor now in the community up in the hills and I guess you could say mountains of West Virginia, it's somewhat popular to hear that statement, once saved, always saved. You've heard that before. Most of the time it's used as a critical statement. I don't try to use it a whole lot. I preach what the Bible teaches, and that's eternal security of the believer in Jesus Christ. Focus on him, okay? God helps us with the focus on us walking worthy of our vocation, of our calling. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're supposed to have a changed life. We're supposed to have a new life. All that stuff, that comes after. But here's the thing. The gift, the unspeakable gift, the focus is not on me, the recipient. The focus is on the giver, what Jesus did. And folks get that thing that we live in such a humanistic world and humanistic society. Everybody wants to put their own selves in the crosshairs when they ought to be putting Jesus Christ, lifting him up, focusing on him. But let's just follow this line of reasoning. It does say, I believe in the book of Isaiah, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord of hosts. Let's be reasonable about this. So suppose it were true that a person once saved could be lost again. Many people believe that. Suppose such a person to gain heaven would then have to be saved all over again. But suppose the person never did get saved the second time, and departing this earthly life, left a lost person, a lost man, and went finally to the lake of fire, having been once saved. Suppose that. Now, that's our scenario. Here's the question. In what sense, then, was he first saved? From what was he saved? Was he saved from the penalty of sin? Well, the answer has to be no, for he did not escape the lake of fire. He ultimately ended in the lake of fire. Was he saved from the power of sin? Remember, we talked about the threefold deliverance of this gift a moment ago in 2 Corinthians 1:10, I believe it was. Was he saved from the power of sin? Well, the answer again has to be no, for he fell back into his sin and then, of course, died a lost man, according to this line of thinking. And most assuredly, he was not saved from the presence of sin. We all have to deal with our flesh until we meet Jesus Christ face to face one day. So then, from what was this man saved? Well, the answer is nothing at all. He may have thought he was saved. He may have felt like he was saved. He may have acted for a while, though he were saved. His friends may have thought he was saved. But in the final analysis, he was saved from nothing. See, salvation to be anything more than a mere word or a mere term, salvation must be everlasting. Any person who has been saved has been eternally saved. No one is saved until they are eternally saved. Anyone who dies in a lost condition never was saved at all. It doesn't even make sense. That human reasoning doesn't even make sense if you follow it through to a reasonable conclusion. And it's not reasonable when you examine the character of this unspeakable gift that God would give it and then take it back if you displease him. Right. How many of you this week were planning on giving your children or grandchildren a gift, maybe something they had on a Christmas wish list or something they'd asked you for, maybe something they've been talking about incessantly for months and months and months, and you were planning on giving it to them on Tuesday, but holding it over their head and maybe taking it back from them on Wednesday. Remember that thing I got you? Well, I'm going to take it back. Hope you didn't tear up all the packaging too bad where I can't go back to Walmart. No, God's not that kind of parent. See, to examine the character of the gift that God has given us, you examine the character of God. And God, when it comes to his character, he does not lack in any way. He's not found wanting in any way. No, he is the Almighty, Most High God. And he's the one doing the giving. He gives us exactly what we need. That's why Paul says it. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And by the way, you don't have to wait to find out in the end whether you're saved or not. We don't have to wait until after this earthly life is over to find out whether we're delivered or saved or not. No, we may be saved now and know it. I know this isn't in 2 Corinthians, but over in 1 Corinthians 1:18, the Lord Jesus told the Apostle Paul, and I'll read it to you here real quick. I think I got it here real quick. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." You see, saved is not just a religious term that certain churches use. You're saved, you're not saved, you're saved, you're lost. No, Paul says to us which are saved. He uses it. It's right here in the King's English. God gave this. He inspired, placed his spirit upon these words. They are inspired, they are preserved, and they're here for us today talking about this unspeakable gift. He says to us which are saved. He includes himself in that, by the way. It is the power of God. What a blessing it is to be a recipient of this unspeakable gift. If you're here today and you have not yet received the greatest gift ever given to you on your worst day of existence, given to you on a day where you were absolutely convinced that God was your enemy, that sin was your friend, and that self need to be exalted. On your worst day, realize this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Remember that story I like to tell at this time of year? Long ago, there ruled in Persia a wise and good king. He loved his people, and because he loved his people, he wanted to know how they lived. He wanted to know about their hardships they faced. So often, this king would dress in the clothes of a common working man. Sometimes he would dress in the clothes of a beggar, and he would go to the homes of the poor. No one whom he visited thought that he was their king. They did not know that he was their ruler over all the kingdom. Well, one time, this king visited a very poor man who lived in a cellar. He ate the coarse food the poor man ate. He spoke cheerful and kind words to him. Then he left, but later, he visited the poor man again and disclosed his identity by saying, "I am your king." Well, the king thought for certain that the man would surely ask for some gift or favor, but the man didn't. Instead, he said to the king, he said, "You left your palace and you left your glory to visit me in this dark and dreary place. You ate the coarse food that I ate, and you brought cheer and gladness to my heart. To others you have given your rich gifts, but to me you have given yourself." The King of glory, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, gave himself to you and to me. That's why, again, we can repeat that verse. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Have you received it? Today, you don't have to qualify for it. You don't have to fill out an application. You don't have to have an accomplishment or a resume of some sort for God to bestow this unspeakable gift upon you. All you have to do, according to the Word of God, and that's where we have all our instructions, all our information that we need, you have to see yourself as what the Bible says, as a sinner. A sinner that's fallen short of the glory of God. And understanding that you don't need self-reform, but you need a Savior to get you out of your sinful situation. And you need to trust what Jesus Christ did for you, because Jesus Christ was born. Yes, it's sung about and it's talked about, especially this time of year. But not only was he born, he lived, he died, he was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And this is the unspeakable gift that Paul was praising God for, and I hope that you're praising God for today. Have you received it? It's simply believing. I didn't say you have to work for it. I didn't say you had to turn over a new leaf or any of that kind of stuff. Jesus Christ already hung on a tree for you. Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? We'll have an invitation time and turn things back over to Pastor Carter. Yes, it's the Christmas season. But to participate in any gift giving and receiving, we need to stop and take note of the greatest gift that's ever given. And that's the gift of my salvation, the gift of your salvation. I was not worthy of it, but Jesus Christ, who was worthy, gave it to me anyway. And it's by grace that you're saved, the Bible says. Do you know him today? How many can say, "Yes, preacher"? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, but my testimony is I have received that greatest gift ever given. I'm saved. Would you raise your hand today as a testimony? What a blessing it is to be able to raise your hand. God doesn't have to see your hand because he knows your heart, but I have to ask for hands this morning. Is there anybody here say, "Preacher, I'd like to ask prayer at this time because I have not yet received that unspeakable gift. I'm not saved. I can't be included in the group that Paul included there." He says, "For us which are saved." I'm not in that group because I've never yet accepted. I've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Please pray for me. Anybody like that today? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to pray for you if I see your hand this morning. I'm going to pray that it'll be the greatest Christmas ever, that you'll receive that unspeakable gift that God gave you. Let's have prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word today. Yes, Lord, it's way more precious than a book of receipts. But there is a receipt inside of it that tells us about the price that was paid for our forgiveness and salvation. So we proclaim that today best we know how. And we thank you for this unspeakable gift. Father, if there's anybody here today, I didn't see any hands raised. But Lord, again, you know the heart. If there's anybody here today that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we bring them to you now. We ask for your will to be done, and we ask for their salvation to be accomplished, even today, that they had simply, the best way they know how, act upon your word today, accept Jesus Christ, believe on him as their personal Savior. Father, for this invitation time, we ask your blessing upon it, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together, and I'm going to ask.